Welcome to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast. I'm Ray. So following on from our conversation last week around awareness, we then got on to the follow-on topic of authenticity and what it means to be authentic to yourself, whether it's in a personal relationship or in a professional setting. I learned a new word, congruent, really pleased with that. Broadens my frame of reference all the time. So thank you, Sophie, for teaching me that word. And so, yeah, this is just really about what it means to feel at ease with yourself and be confident and comfortable that you are being the true you in any given situation. So here we are. Hope you enjoy. Please feel free to contact us at podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. Enjoy the listen. It's just so incredible. Gotta have it, can't let it go. If you don't try, you'll never know that this is incredible. Now have you ever wondered how the best did it? They never second guessed, they didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission, listen, it's beyond description. We don't wanna fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion. I would like to move on very briefly, if I may. Sophie, you mentioned something, you used a word that was particularly, I feel, significant, and it's a bit to do with the whole issue of people walking their talk. Authenticity. Tell me a little bit about what authenticity means for you, Sophie.
Well, I've got quite mixed views about authenticity. I think you can take it from one extreme or to the other. So it's a bit like what you was talking about, the seesaw, actually. I think that I'm struggling right now, actually, with what the word professional means. What is the actual definition of professional? And when you think about clothes that you wear into the office, why does a suit and a tie create more trust, more professionalism than somebody walking into the office wearing a t-shirt? And why is that not professional? And so my thoughts around authenticity is around the extent to that person can actually show up to work and be their true selves. You know, if you're not a shirt and tie wearing person, actually, are you having to pretend to be something that you're not by turning up in that environment, not being your authentic self? And that's obviously a decision that you choose to make. However, on the flip side of this, let's just say, you know, a lot about authenticity is about really being true to how you're feeling, who you are, and you are a surgeon who's about to kind of carry out heart surgery on somebody. And authentically, how you're feeling today is actually, I'm not in the mood for this. I don't want to do it. I'm just not in the right space for it. And so therefore, I'm going to be authentic to that feeling and I'm going to behave in that way. And I think there's, obviously, I realise that's a very, you know, extreme example, but I think there is a balance of being authentic, appropriate to the situation that you're in. And you have to try and figure out where that sits, I think, depending on what you're doing and how you're portraying yourself.
That's really interesting because it kind of comes back to everything that we've talked about in the previous 40 minutes in terms of, so sometimes we have a particular day where we just feel discombobulated, just something seems to be out of kilter, something's not quite in sync, something's going on. And quite often we try to suppress that feeling and we try and, you know, work through it. I think for me, authenticity starts with yourself and being aware of yourself in that, okay, so I'm not feeling quite right. I'm going to take 5 minutes here to examine why that might be. Because otherwise, to not do that, I will be trying to portray something to people, and actually the subliminal message they'll be getting is that something's inauthentic there, something's not quite right. Like when you ask somebody, oh, how's your day, and they go,
people say, oh, I'm not too bad. So you're not too bad. So that doesn't mean you're good then. It just means you're not overly bad. And a lot of that gives away an imbalance or what was the word you used earlier? A lack of congruence.
Congruence, yeah.
I love that word. I struggle with it to say it, but I love it. It's like conjunctivitis is another word that I often struggle with for some weird reason. But yeah, that lack of congruence and that you see, you feel inauthentic to yourself. You know, it's like I'm in this situation, but really I don't enjoy it. I'm only here for whatever reasons, but it's not a piece of me. And I think once you start to ask yourself and become aware of your own authenticity and what it means for you, what you need to do to be authentic to yourself, it then opens all sorts of questions about the people you're friends with, the people you work for, the people you work with. You know, there's a whole different, like, we could be talking about this till 8 o'clock tonight, to be honest. But I think it's so vital for us to feel at ease with ourselves, that we're not pretending to be something that we're not. I remember coming from like a site-based construction background, so many people would say to me, oh, I never want to, you know, I don't want to not be working on site. I don't want to be in an office. I don't want to wear a shirt and tie. As if the whole of the job working in a construction site office, it's all about wearing a shirt and tie. Actually, what does that say about our perception of this whole, as you said, this whole dress code thing? You know, why would it be a scenario that the first people think about when they talk about an office job is, oh, they got to wear a suit, rather than actually what they do?
Yeah,
it's very strange.
Mm. I'm doing a kind of a thought piece at the moment. I've got no answers for you yet. Maybe it's a topic for another podcast, but around what that term professional means and how that manifests itself. And why dress code matters, because I understand from a uniform perspective, if you're working in a support service, for example, you want to know the person you're talking to is actually a doctor or is actually a nurse, and that uniform is the thing that signifies that. But I think there are other circumstances which I think I've seen so much now, most of my work being on Zoom, that people that would normally be in full suit and tie, the women that I would talk to would be, you know, very, very smart dresses and blazers, who are sat in a t-shirt, possibly even jogging bottoms on, you know, and it hasn't affected anyone's performance in any way, my perception of them, or if anything, it's made me feel warmer towards them, because I'm actually starting to see a little bit of their personality come through, rather than this professional shield where we can't talk about these things. And the other thing I wanted to say, Ray, when you was talking about authenticity and, you know, almost not the faking it till you make it, because I think there is some value in that, but I think if you don't have the self-reflection to understand who you are authentically, it will start to manifest itself, and it will build up and build up and build up, potentially to the point where you make yourself quite ill. And I've been in that situation in a previous role where it didn't fit me. I felt it was the right thing to do for my career. It would look good on CV. It was a good, in inverted commas, professional move. And I tried to be somebody that I wasn't, someone highly corporate who would spend all day, every day writing board reports and, you know, reporting back on the KPIs of the people in the business, etc. And it wasn't me. And I tried to convince myself to be that. But when I actually decided to listen to what my authentic self was saying, because it was screaming at me, because I was feeling stressed, I was feeling fatigued, and the anxiety and depression from being in that position was immense. I burnt out. I had no other choice but to listen. I thought the reason this doesn't fit is because that is not who you are. I am very much somebody who is extroverted. So sitting me in front of a computer, writing board reports all day with very little interaction with people and mainly interaction with numbers is not authentic to me. I'm funny. I like to engage in laughter with people. And the way I was being expected to write the board reports was not fun and engaging. It was very strict and structured and very little room for freedom. So when I decided to accept my own authenticity and have that self-reflection on who I really was, that was when I found my true purpose, where I found actually what my niche is, what I should be doing. And finding my voice now as an authentic person who is dealing with culture and kind of guiding and coaching leaders and managers in organisations, I feel that I am playing at my top level now, because I'm truly owning who I am and not pretending to be somebody that I'm not. And I think that happens in so many situations in the workplace where many of us aren't really truly being authentic to ourselves.
Mm. And may account for a huge amount of the clear and demonstrable percentage of people who are unhappy at work.
Absolutely.
Mm. Because they're not somewhere where they feel they naturally need to be. Mm. As a manager, like, it's very important that so you need to get a sense of the true authentic person prior to you engaging them, and that comes back to the whole making sure that somebody's a good culture fit in an organization, because actually what you want as a manager, no matter what your product or industry or whatever is you want the most energized, fulfilled, happiest person in your workforce. And for that, it has to be important to you that that person feels congruent with themselves, that they feel that they can be their true, authentic self in that environment. And often when we say, oh, somebody's not a good cultural fit for an organization, it's not a damnation of them as a person or the organization as an organization. It's just saying that for whatever reason, this scenario is not conducive to the way that person wants to turn up and wants to be present. And therefore, it's best for both parties if we don't try and put a square peg into a round hole. And I think that's often lost, because when we engage people on the basis of technical skill alone and competence and experience in the skill, we lose all of that stuff that actually, no matter how good or otherwise somebody is, will always manifest itself as a problem if you don't have that balance right. If that person isn't able to come to work every day and be their true, authentic self, you're never going to get the best of them. And they're never going to give their best to you. And the likelihood is that the relationship isn't for the longer term. Whereas if you get somebody who's in a place where, like, it's a bit of them, it speaks to who they are as a person, then no matter what their technical capability, they will be much, much more than the sum of their parts. And I guess that's fundamentally what's at the basis of high-performing teams as well. That it's the most important thing that people are able to be their most authentic selves. And I guess as well, when it comes to creative problem-solving and brainstorming and everything, that's when you truly need to value people being their authentic self. You absolutely don't want anybody holding back in that situation.
But that's why I think there is so much that needs to be done around the recruitment process, because the current way that we recruit does not really encourage people to really be their authentic selves. And therefore, you recruit people into roles on the basis of an artificial scenario that's occurred in that meeting room on that one day. And I think if we really want people to be behaving authentically in the organisation, there's a whole ream of things that need to go after recruitment, but it starts at recruitment. And I think if we really want people to take self-reflection seriously and be authentic to who they are, we have to get that message across at recruitment.
I just wanted to ask Gary, well, I'll come back to that in a minute, but I just want to ask Gary, because again, you know, from his story-based marketing, And indeed, like from your past as a, you know, as a journalist as well, Gary, that ability to be authentic, whether it's from an organization or an individual, is kind of, if you're not authentic in that sort of a scenario, you're really potentially going to distort your message, I would suggest. Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting one with authenticity, because there are at least two camps on this. There are some marketers who kind of poo-poo it, really, and just say it's just kind of a new fad and it's a little bit, oh, it's kind of people just going a bit soft, and that marketing should be, you know, hard, and it's you sell, 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 and you just do whatever you need to do to sell. And there's others who believe that people are fed up of the kind of the high-pitched selling techniques, and they actually just want to have a bit more of an honest conversation and attach themselves, get connected and engaged with, you know, a particular brand or a product or service, because of what it says, something more than just, oh, I've bought a product or that service. It fits in with something around their values or principles. So there is a little bit of a food fight I've seen in certain social media circles around that. I obviously lean towards the, as we've been talking about and with Sophie, that, you know, allowing yourself and your organization to be more yourself, so that when you are marketing, you're not actually having to work so hard at it, because you're just talking more like you would normally talk. You've got your, you know, you can have your mission statement and all that, but it's really about the, you know, what do we stand for, and, you know, what kind of people do we want as our customers and clients, and actually, you know, worrying less about the competition as such, and saying we're more interested in, you know, the people that really love us, because those are the people that are going to buy from us, keep buying from us, they'll support us, they'll share, they'll be referring people to us, they'll be doing quite a bit of the marketing work for us, because they love us so much. So I think how you present yourself, and it doesn't mean that it has to be this, oh, we've got to be 100% authentic, we've got to be, you know, there's obviously an element of presentation in marketing. So that's absolutely fine. It's fine to present a you know, an avatar of yourself, or your company. You can never be, I think, sort of just like absolutely 100%. Everything's going to be, you know, fully authentic, because, you know, we're human beings. We're not robots.
But shouldn't the very nature of authenticity is not it's not a construct. So it's not something that you should, oh, I'm going to try to be authentic today. It's about understanding who you are or what you are as an organization, and just reflecting that in what you do and what you say. Or am I missing the point?
No, you're right there. I think a lot of the, I mean, we talked earlier about the importance of reflection for self-awareness, and I think asking yourself as a, you know, a small business owner, entrepreneur, or even a corporate, is, you know, asking yourself those questions about, you know, what are our values, what are our beliefs, what are our principles, how are we behaving, and is that the way we want to behave? You know, who are our customers and our clients, and what, you know, what do we understand about them? How can we be, and particularly in this moment in time, how can we be of service to them? Because it's not all about the instant sale. It's about how you've treated and understood and worked with your, you know, your prospects and your customers, your audience, your clients. I do think that's going to be a growing thing, I think, where people will be attaching themselves more to the brands which are more in alignment with how they want things to be, because we've seen, you know, some bad examples of practice, and we've also seen some, you know, some really good marketing. There's been a lot of fun marketing as well, which I think has been really, really good to see. People being very transparent about things, you know, which is, you know, I think that can only be a good thing. It builds trust, it creates that connection with people. And because we're emotional beings and we tend to buy on emotion, You know, it's important that we have that human connection and present ourselves as, you know, however big the company, that, you know, we're all people at the end of the day.
Mm.
Just a bit of a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah, and organisations are organisms made up of people. Lisa, in your unique position, I guess you get to see the face that companies present to the world, and then you get to see how they truly operate and behave out away from the public gaze.
Yeah.
What have you found? What are your thoughts about authenticity? I'm not leading you there, by the way. I'm not trying to suggest that companies are being inauthentic, but please feel free to name and shame as well.
No, that's quite a good one. I think I actually see quite a few that are doing really good stuff that don't shout about it enough as well, which is positive. But yeah, I think there's some that are doing some really good stuff for their staff and don't outwardly promote that. And the reasons for that, I don't know. I don't know whether it is just down to time. They sort of do it because they feel they should be doing it, but don't see any value in promoting that themselves about their company. But I know that we've sort of touched on things before, when you realise the little extras that a company can do and how that can sway you to making a purchase or dealing with that company, because that sits with your own values, where you think, oh, actually, it's nice to know that if I go with them, a little bit of that's going to do some good somewhere else. But yeah, I'm just trying to think of some that put stuff out there. Honestly, most companies probably do that to an extent. And maybe that is just through the marketing that they've done or the people that they've consulted with before on marketing. And you're always going to want to put a face out there that sells or that attracts business. And I suppose that's where people then need to really judge who they deal with to take that business forward. So I know for me at the workshop, one of the big projects coming up was marketing. And that's still happening, but it's going to be a very different environment for me to market in the coming months as to what it was 3 months ago. And I know what I want to market out. I feel I know what our selling points are as the workshop. And then really that is all down to me to be able to make that real and come to life when people come through the door. And comfortably, I don't intend on promoting anything that I don't feel I can back up when they come through the door. And I think that's how everyone should be working, really. But yeah, I think all companies will put something out there that's perhaps not quite authentic because they're wanting to sell what they make or that they serve people. And I think actually for products, it's probably easier than if you're in a service industry, because I think service industries, you're dealing much more with people. And then it's far easier to see.
You can't necessarily hide behind a widget. Yeah.
Whereas products, they get sent out, you buy them, whatever it might be, it might do what it says on the tin, it might not. But it's very different when it's a product to somebody that's offering a service. It's, it's far easier to see what's real and what isn't. It's far harder. I think it's much harder to do it. But then that's where I think, any marketing you do, whatever you put out there, you've got to keep that real too, which when you've got people like Gary and what Gary does in kind of dragging those stories out and getting that information out to you and helping to put that out in a way that is real, then you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Mm. Well, and that leads me neatly on to sort of draw this to a close and to, at least in my own head, neatly close the circle a little bit. In your opinions, as qualified and competent human beings and members of the human race, I'd just like your thoughts on, to close, authenticity, vulnerability, and trust. So what I mean is, so I wonder if in order to be authentic, you need to be a little bit vulnerable. And therefore, in order to be a little bit vulnerable, you need to feel psychologically safe and trusting of the environment or the people that you're being vulnerable and authentic to. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with that, Ray. And I think there's also some self-reflection to be had there. Because if you are working in an organisation where you're listening to these 3 points that you've just raised and you are thinking, no, I can't be authentic because the trust isn't there and therefore I don't have the psychological safety, I think that needs to take back a step and say, okay, then why am I working in this organisation? If I cannot be who I truly am in this organisation, then should I be here or should I be somewhere else? And I think that could potentially raise some questions to people.
Gary, Lisa?
Certainly for me, yes, if we're going down the, if I can phrase it that way, the authenticity route, yeah, certainly for people or organisations that are going to be marketing that way or operating that way, yes, definitely that's going to open you up to things. So yes, vulnerability is definitely part of that. You'd have to be open to, some people, not quite seeing that because not everybody gets it. But also I think by being more authentic, you automatically raise the chances of gaining the trust of others, because people will much more easily be able to see who you are and what the offer is, so they can just raise their hands or turn their noses up much more quickly, and that's good for you. You want to be attracting the right customers and clients and pushing away those who are going to be the ones who are going to be a non-buyer or actually just going to cause you headaches because they'll clock up your communication system with lots of other questions and queries or people who are just going to slack you off on Facebook or whatever. So thumbs up for authenticity, but yeah, it does. Being yourself does come with a health warning.
Yeah. Although we don't want to terrify people into not wanting to be authentic, it's probably the most enlivening thing you can ever do because you will be at peace with yourself.
Yes. The warning could be that you actually might be in better health.
Oh yeah. I would be as bold as to say. You will be in better health, certainly psychologically. Lisa, to you get the final dibs on this particular topic?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's three different. I think stuff about the workshop, and then I think back to when I was self-employed. But I suppose for me, it's exactly the same in that the trust comes from the tenants once they're in, so it's all on different levels, but I suppose for me, yeah, it's about being real from the start, because if I'm real about what the workshop is and what we have to offer people and what we're trying to create for people that are there as tenants, then yeah, there's going to be a vulnerability, but I suppose for me, I don't then have that because I'm totally confident in about what we're offering and how we're doing it. And then the trust comes once they're in, they do trust what to do. And it's like even having tenants back at the moment, I feel like that trust is there because they're all coming back happily. They're all trusting what I've said to them is what I've said I'm going to do. I'm doing it. And they're all trusting that they'll start turning up again from this week and they're going to see this stuff in place and they're going to feel safe. And that's what I've sort of sold to them in the last 8-9 weeks. So I suppose that's kind of been the real thing. But I was just thinking, as long as it's being real, then I've got the confidence with whatever the job is I'm doing. I don't have to then doubt myself. and what I'm capable of if I haven't tried to oversell it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. That was hugely interesting as ever. I'm going to go away now and practice spelling and saying the word congruent for the next couple of weeks. I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind people that we're available on all platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. And please, you've got nothing else to do in lockdown, folks. Go on there, rate us, review us. Oh, 5 stars are nothing. Thank you very much. That would be really appreciated. Coming up in the diary, oh, by the way, again, if you haven't listened to Gary's interview with Helen Elizabeth Evans, you won't be disappointed, folks. Go and listen to that. It's a two-parter. Best couple of hours you'll ever spend. Coming up in the diary, we'll be releasing a conversation I had with Matt Taylor and John Fleming about their Three People in Your Head podcast. So that'll be coming out in the next week or so. And it'll be interesting to see. Tomorrow's the 1st of June. We're recording this on Sunday the 31st. Things starting to really move in terms of lockdown. So maybe when we come back together in a fortnight, we'll just have a quick review of where we think we're at with that and how authentic the whole experience has been and how aware we are of our reaction to this particular experience. Thank you very much for joining us. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you very, very shortly.
Bye.
Bye.
Living in